Take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 46 is where we're going to be this evening in our Bible study. And we've been looking at the matter of the pursuit of peace over the last couple of Wednesday nights. And the admonition we saw a couple weeks ago in Romans 14 to pursue after peace. Follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And the necessity for us as Christians to pursue for things, go after things that bring about peace, that accomplish edification, not tearing down, not confrontation with others. And Psalm 46 is just a great encouragement, remembering, and I think a help for us as we're pursuing peace, that we can observe God's supply of peace. Now, the word peace isn't found in Psalm 46, okay? But I want you to read Psalm 46 with me and observe what it is that is the opposite of peace spoken of in Psalm 46. So Psalm 46 in your Bibles tonight, Psalm 46, and let's look together at verse number 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the earth, or though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. A good verse to just be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, last time we looked at Romans 14 and the pursuing of peace, and peace is not always all around us, is it? Is there a lack of peace at times amongst our relationships with other people, as in Romans 14? Yeah, there can be things that stir us up, make for conflict. Can there be a world that we live in that is in lack of peace, that is filled with turmoil, wars, that is filled with these tumults that are felt constantly? Have you ever felt the rush of the world upon you and upon what's going on around us, and how much anxiety and angst there is in our world right now? We live in a world that is without peace. And remembering the one who brought you peace in the first place, the one who made peace with God possible, our Savior Jesus Christ, brings our focus back onto the one who is the provider of peace, the one who is the provider of rest. It is our God. And Psalm 46 is a great reminder to us of that peace. And pursuing God in times of challenge will result in knowing his peace. I want to challenge you tonight about pursuing God and letting tonight your focus be on pursuing God and the peace that he has brought. That requires being still sometimes. Being still enough to hear, to see, to observe, and to rejoice in what he has done. Because often we think we are the creators of peace. Now, we like to create atmospheres of peace and rest, don't we? And I know, Pastor, you just went on vacation. Isn't that what you went to do, was go find some peace and quiet? No, I went to spend time with my family. And to be honest, there were times of peace and of quiet. We had a very good time. We went to the Bill Rice Ranch for family camp. We heard great preaching. I had good times of rest as well. And I will tell you, going and taking time with our family is important. And it's important for you that have children to take time with your kids, doing something, whether it's just getting away for a short period of time or if you can do it for a week. Do that. Take time, because there is a lot that is distracting that wants to pull even the family apart, isn't there? And so taking time to focus on the family was important for us. But can I fully, in my ability, manufacture, can I create peace? No, I can't create that. No matter, you know, I remember when I was younger in our married life, Lindsay and I would think of these, okay, what are we going to do for our week of vacation or a couple days of that vacation? What are we going to go do? And I would Google, you know, a cabin, fishing, porch swing, you know, all the kinds of things I wanted to have that I thought, that would just be great, wouldn't it? Now, you can put in all the things you think will equal peace, but you can't manufacture or create peace that is real and lasting. God is the giver of peace. God is the one who gives, and we ought pursue Him if we would know peace. I know it's an easy thing to say, pursue God, but I want you to see tonight from this passage that we need to slow down. As Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still. That takes effort on our part to focus in on God, not ourselves. And often we can see all the troubles and confusion of life that are right at the door and wonder with all that's bombarding us, what do I have to do? How am I going to accomplish this? Even the idea of pursuing peace, you might think, oh, that's in my, I got to work this up and I'm going to do that. Well, I want you to see from this passage tonight some helps in pursuing God so that you can see His supply of peace. Look with me at verse number 1, and on your outline, observing God's supply tonight. Number 1 on your outline, notice with me, God's supply available. God's supply available. In Psalm 46, verse 1, well, even in verses 1, 2, and 3, you notice that this is a psalm that recognizes turmoil. It's a psalm that recognizes turmoil. And God's supply is available for the turmoil. In verse 1, you have the word trouble. In verse 2, you have, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. You have shaking and swelling thereof. You notice that there's a lot of energy being spoken of in all of these first three verses. And I want you to observe some statements of fact that are spoken by the psalmist. Number one, underneath this, God is our refuge, spoken of in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. That word refuge is the idea of a shelter. There is hope found there. The strength that is necessary is found not in Frank, not in you, not in our parents, kids. It's found in God. Yes. It's found in Him. And that's a comfort. Because we look in our country all the time at who has the answers, who has the best way, who has the 10 best habits for. And we can look all the time and think that we'll source success in things that we provide. This verse reminds us, God's supply reminds us that He is our refuge. Not only is He our refuge, He is a present help. God is a present help. The idea there of a present help is the idea of a proven help. God has been found when needed. Can I say that again? God has been found when He was needed. The psalmist is speaking of the fact that God does not come in late to the problems. God does not come in lacking to the problems. God is sufficient for your problem, for your need, for my need. He is a very present help. And then it says, God is there in the time when we are in trouble. God is there when we are in trouble. Now, that seems to be the obvious. When else would I need God, right? Except when I'm in trouble. But when we're in trouble, that's the time sometimes we wonder, where is God? Why is this happening right now? How can this be happening if God is there? The psalmist sees that God is there in the time of trouble. When adversity comes, when tribulation or distress or affliction, you know what all those things are? They're the opposites of peace, aren't they? When you think of peace and you think of afflictions and you think of turmoil and you think of adversity, you see this as an opposite. You see the great contrast. And God is a sufficient supply and a very ready help during our time of need. When you are going to lack peace. Some commentators wonder if verse 10, speaking of the be still and know, is not referring to when the children of Israel faced the Assyrians. Now, do you remember the Assyrians and the 185,000 strong army? Was that quite an impressive and daunting foe? Yeah. Has Israel faced foes that were impossible in their past? Over and over and over. You know, David and Goliath, the impossible foe. Did God bring about victory? Yeah, and that victory resulted in peace. Do you recognize that God's the one that brings about peace? He is the one that supplies in the time of need. He is a help at any time. Have you ever called customer service and gotten this answer? We're sorry, you've called after hours. Please call again tomorrow between the hours of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or you got put on hold. You know, we are experiencing higher than normal call volume. Please call back later. I've heard that one many times. That is not the answer you get from God.
Amen.
Never. Have you ever thought, okay, I wanted to call God, I wanted to get a hold of him, but you know what? He's too busy for me. You will not have that happen, Christian. Ever. That ought to be an encouragement to you, because if you're going to pursue after peace, there'll be times when you wonder, well, does he really care? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You know, I've recognized as a parent, there are times when I'm busy and I could act like I'm too busy. My kids could tell me, Dad, you know, are you listening? Have you ever had this happen, parents? Oh, come on. Sure. You guys are perfect parents. All right. And we're distracted, or we're doing something, and we don't think we can do this and that. God's not limited in that way, is he? Not one bit. God is never lacking in help for you or I. And this verse reminds us of that. He is a help at any time. Psalm 62, you're in Psalm 46. Turn over to Psalm 62, verse 5. And notice this wonderful, encouraging passage that reminds us of our God's ability at any time. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in him, is in God. Trust in him at how many times?
All times.
Let's say that phrase together. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. At all times. Not only do I recognize back in Psalm 46 that God supplies for us, but notice a second thing here. God's supply accessed by faith. God's supply accessed by faith. Look back at Psalm 46 and verse number 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now notice this, because of God's supply of verse number 1, the psalmist can say, we will not fear. And you say, well, where is faith in this, pastor? Well, I'm going to get to that in a moment. But the fact that someone can say, I will not fear, means they're depending on someone. They're putting their dependence upon the one who has supplied, the one who has protected. Because of God's supply, the psalmist can say, we will not fear. Though waters roar and mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, those are pretty traumatic things that are going on. Very, you could almost say, apocalyptic type things. Have you seen mountains carried into the sea lately? I know, if you've seen a volcano, you've probably seen something like that. Is that a dramatic scene? If you witnessed a volcano in person, very dramatic. Very, very impressive, powerful, and a reminder of God's power. This verse says that these troubling things that have happened remind them that they could live without fear. Now, being filled with fear and faith are things that Jesus taught often about. And we're going to look over in just a minute in the book of Mark, but in your notes there, I want you to write down, the presence of fear by the disciples was rebuked by Christ as a lack of faith. And turn over to Mark chapter 4, and let's look at this. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. As you're turning there, water and mountains are impressive and mighty pictures in Scripture. And Jesus stated that faith was capable of moving mountains. You recall this? And that faith that was lacking in his disciples, he rebuked them in Mark chapter number 4 because of the sudden storm that came up. You remember that there was a rebuke given to them because of their fear. Notice in Mark chapter 4 verse 37. Mark 4:37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus was, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have, what's the next two words? No faith. Now, how did Jesus, of course Jesus sees their heart and their life entirely. But what demonstrated their lack of faith in this story? Their fear. Their fear, and they are in incredible amounts of fear, are they not? And they wonder at Jesus not being concerned for them, not caring for them. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I will tell you who he is. He is God. In flesh. Jesus is the very same God that we see in Psalm 46 that has the power to provide peace and to provide to one who trusts him a lack of fear. What is it that makes it possible for a Christian to live without fear? Is it putting no fear on their shirts? You know, did y'all remember those shirts? No fear. When I was in the 90s, there was no fear on shirts, and it was like a We're tough. Well, no, it's not my stating, I have no fear. You know what provides a no fear position for a Christian? The one upon whom their trust, their faith is upon. Now, this is really important for us to remember. Faith is not about some kind of work that you create or do yourself. When we speak about faith, we're not talking about something that you whip up in yourself, okay? Faith is always about an object, all right? What are you putting your faith in? Can you put your faith in yourself? Yes, if the disciples, which I believe that they thought were good fishermen, were good on the sea, if their faith was in themselves, and themselves they found to be lacking, what happens? Fear. Do people put their trust in themselves today? Oh, sure. Yeah. Many do for their salvation. If you ask them, how do you know for certain that you're going to heaven? Well, I'm just hoping that I'm a good enough person. I'm trying to please God. Where is their dependence? Well, it's patently in themselves. Their dependence. And though they may say, well, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, if they're trusting themselves and their dependence is in what they do, their faith is not in Jesus Christ. For salvation, it is not. It's in themselves. You say, that's harsh. How can you say that? They have said it. And that's important to help someone with. You don't want someone to have a confidence in salvation and eternity in heaven based on what they say themselves is trusting themselves. There's nothing good of me that is going to impress God for my salvation. Nothing at all. Nothing good of you that will ever impress God for your salvation, right? Maybe we're not sure about that. The answer is no. Nothing good in you or me that's going to impress God for salvation. What is our trust in? That was really weak, y'all. Okay. I'm coming back ready to get you whipped up for Wednesday night. What is our trust in? It's in Jesus Christ entirely. It's all about Christ. It's all about what he did. Now, faith in Christ is dependence on Christ. Now, does that stop at salvation? The matter of faith in Christ. Does that stop once salvation? No. Now, it doesn't. It isn't that I need to keep having faith in Christ to keep salvation or to make me saved, but faith in Christ and what he has already done is the dependency that I have to walk the Christian life through to have victory. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Colossians, so walk ye in him. How were you saved? How did you come to faith in him? Well, by faith in Christ, I have salvation. That's how I received him. How do I continue to walk? I continue to walk by faith, depending upon him. And let me challenge you to consider that in this matter of peace. When it comes to depending upon God for peace, it's a recognition of what he provides already, not what you work up. Peace is not a feeling that you just, I gotta get a feeling going here. I gotta whip up some emotions here. That's not going to help. It's very fickle to have emotions that you create that sustain you. My friend, what God provides works, and it lasts, and it's important to see this. Jesus was pointing out to his disciples in Mark chapter number 4 that their dependence was on themselves, and he's pointing out that their denial, they wonder at his denial, Jesus' denial of his care for them. Carest thou not that we perish? Where are you? Don't you care? And by the way, isn't that the feeling sometimes we can get when our faith is in ourselves? What are you doing? Where are you, God? What if those disciples had said to Jesus at the outset of the storm, Jesus, we're with you, we trust you. If they would have exercised the kind of faith that Peter did when he walked out of the boat and kept his eyes on Jesus, what happened when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus? Down he goes. And you know the sinking that we feel at times is when our eyes get off of our Savior. You know that the key is not that you have your eyes on you or that you have your eyes on everything that's going on around you. It's that you have your eyes on the one who provides the help. That you keep your eyes on him. I'm sure you've seen illustrations of this before, but have you ever had or observed a child that's in a very scary situation? Thunderstorms, you know, the clapping of thunder, and the child is just, and they come to mom and dad's room, and they hold dad's hand or mom's hand, or they get a hug, and what happens? They're out, just like that. They are calmed. They are able to sleep again, rest. What provided that comfort to them? The presence of someone that they could trust, that they could depend upon. Now, you and I need to be in the position where we recognize God's supply is accessed by faith. It's accessed by recognizing he is faithful. I can depend upon him. In Psalm 46, is a verse number 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And all that goes back to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. I can trust him. In the impossible moments, the moments when mountain-moving faith is needed, that may be when we need to be looking to our Savior, depending fully upon him by faith. Confidence in our strength brings about more fear. Faith in his strength alone can result in peace. Peace is often pictured by the serenity of calm waters. In this passage, you have tumultuous things taking place. In Scripture, can you think of a passage that reminds you of the peace that comes? Psalm 23, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, fear is an indicator of doubt in God's leading. Fear is an indicator of doubt in God's leading. Now, are there times when you're going to say, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know how to do this? Sure. Are you going to remain in fear, or are you going to say, I don't know how, but I know that I can trust God's plan. I know that I can trust him. I know that he is faithful. That's a constant battle for every one of us, okay? You may be in here and thinking, I don't have anything right now that's got me afraid or bringing fear to my mind. It will happen. And daily we have to remember that God's supply is accessed by faith. I want you to notice a third thing with me. Verse number 8, God's supply displayed to others. God's supply displayed to others. Verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. The psalmist is saying, come, see what I have seen. See what God has done. That God is strength and that we do not need to fear. Verse 9, God alone can stop wars. There is a lot of effort by people today to stop wars, or to stop riots, or to stop conflicts. And, okay, I'm all for policing, but is policing going to stop the crime problem of our country? Is it going to fix it? I believe we need police, okay, hear me right. Is it going to fix it, though? Can God fix that? And will he one day? Absolutely. One day, sin is going to be done away with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sin is not going to continue. Sin will be judged and sin will be done away with. And God is a God who can take away war. He can take away and destroy the enemy's weapons. The works of our Lord are spoken of here. Notice this in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. The works of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great and sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Psalm 92 says in verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I think that's an important statement. There was great rejoicing in the part of the psalmist to say, you have made me glad because I have seen your work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works. You know, that's a great statement for us to say often. When we sing hymns here in church, you know who we're singing praise to and lifting up the works of? The works of our God. We're lifting up in praise what he has done. Not what we do. It's really important for us not to get too big-headed about our accomplishments. It really is. Is pride an easy thing to happen in our hearts? I mean, can't it just pop up like that? Look at what I did. Look at what I can do. You know that as long as I keep looking at what I can do, I will be missing out on the supply of his help. I will be missing out on it. The psalmist said, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Is that not the truth? Does God have comprehension of things far beyond your ability and mine? Yes. The Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And sometimes that makes me actually recognize, oh, I wonder who the fool is there. Sometimes when I am trying to lift up myself, or when you do, you say, you people do that? Is a proud heart something that can pop up quickly in us? Absolutely. If I'm not magnifying and praising his works, guess whose I'm going to be talking about, thinking about, looking at? I'm going to be looking at mine. And the supply of his help is going to be limited in my mind and heart because I'm not looking to the one who provides. I'm not looking to the one who has done great things. Get your eyes on the one who supplies in incredible ways. Psalm 46 again, and verse number 9 says that God's supply is displayed. It's obvious. It's observed. He maketh wars to cease, and the psalmist is encouraging others to come and see it on display. Now notice with me the fourth thing this evening. God's supply, none of yours. God's supply, none of yours. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now the statement, be still, is the idea of let fall down, or put the hands down, to be relaxed, to slacken. It's the idea in many ways of stand down. Don't try to do this in yourself. How many of you are DIY people? You do it yourselfers, yes. My wife and I love to do it ourselves. Lindsay especially. She's not in here so I can brag on her. Lindsay is very good at finding furniture at Goodwill or on the side of the road or at a yard sale or at Habitat for Humanity store for like 10 bucks or 15 bucks. And she'll take it home and she'll sand it down and she'll paint things up and then she'll turn around and sell it for, you know, $200. How do you do that? Well, she's really good at that. She's very good at it. She has a knack for seeing things and working with her hands and doing things. And the do-it-yourself videos, she loves those. You know, find out how to put the polyurethane on it or something. Well, can I tell you, as a Christian, in our Christian lives, we're not supposed to be do-it-yourselfers. And by that I mean, not like it's wrong to do-it-yourself carpentry or anything else. No, I mean in our spiritual life. In your spiritual life, it's not about you trying to whip up this and make it happen, and God has a supply, but here I am to help God. No! No. Be still and know that I am God. You know who gets the glory out of the victory when you be still and see that he is the one that provides? He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. He gets all the focus. I'll write down in your notes there, Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. And perhaps no better illustration in Scripture of this very passage, of this concept, of a group of anxious people would be the escaping Israelites at the Red Sea. And they've been let go, and they're faced now with the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh and the army coming up behind them. And they're known for being a very calm people, as you'll find throughout their journey over the next 40 years. Right? That's a joke. Are they a calm people? No! Bless Moses' heart. They are not calm. They are very filled with anxiety and fear. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know what the Bible says in Exodus 14, verse 13? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And did God fight for them that day? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did they still have fear later on? Yeah, not too long after. You know, if God could remove the greatest fear in their life at that moment, why could God not have removed the future fears that they would face? Was God unwilling? It wasn't God's unwillingness. It was their focus. It was their eyes on what they saw instead of what God could do. And God's supply, none of mine. You know, I need to be in the practice of ending all attempts for self-reliance in the pursuit of peace. I need to end all attempts of self-reliance. The I've got this type moments. Haven't we said that before? I'll get it. I'm good. No, you're not. No, you're not. You need help. There's not one person in here, by the way, that doesn't need help. You may feel like, Pastor, why are you picking on me tonight? No, it's every single one of us in here. Every one of us. There's not one person in here that is not in need of help. And in need of the peace that God would give if we would look and to rely upon him. To be still and know requires no further fighting and manipulating or works on your part, but complete and total reliance upon what God's done, what God is, who God is. You know, this psalm, as you read it, and I would encourage you to read it over again, maybe tomorrow, maybe even tonight again, see who God reveals himself as. He is a refuge. He is strength. He's help. Verse number 5, God is in the midst of her, speaking of the river. There's a river. Verse 4, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You know, water was a big deal to Middle Easterners. Every bit of supply of strength they needed would come from that water. And that's what they were depending upon. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And the heathen can rage. The kingdoms can move. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. That's your God. Isn't it a comfort? Your God is not distant and out of control. Your God is the very God who helps in time of need. I put on your notes there. The Holy Spirit produces peace. We learn in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The Holy Spirit produces peace. The Son promised peace in John chapter 14, verse 27. God provides peace. And then finally, I can know his peace. Be still and know that I am God. Among the things that you ought to recognize is his peace, the peace that he provides. And I hope that that'll be an encouragement to you tonight. There's a lot of things that can try to take away peace, aren't there? And if you're going to pursue it, you're going to go after it, let me encourage you to keep your eyes upon the one who supplies it. Father, thank you for this time tonight in your word. I pray that these thoughts would be helpful as we continue in the week ahead. And I pray that as we take time tonight to bring our requests to you in just a few moments, that we would see you are capable of help in every one of our needs. I thank you that as we face great or small needs, you are there. And you are able to provide help. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll take some time tonight for prayer requests.